This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I got to catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
She's going around the corner.
Come on.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of new people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We should mate.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime. You know, socially. Go out and kick it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
The Fan.
All right, welcome in. Hour two. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. If you missed any of hour one, you can check it out. Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com. We have a loaded second hour. We're going to kick it off here with Justin Hopkins of ScoopDuck.com in just a moment. Joe is dialing him up right now. We have a lot to touch on here. We'll talk with Hopkins, obviously, about what Oregon's doing with their coaching situations. We're all on Jim Levitt watch. Is he staying? Is he going? We had Rob Mullins. There was a quote came out from Rob Mullins, says they've made their offer. They got an extension. They put it together. They offered it to Jim Levitt, and now they're playing the waiting game as well in Eugene. So we'll see what Levitt ends up deciding to do. They had a big recruiting weekend this past weekend. So we'll touch on that. The bowl game coming up on Saturday, Mario Cristobal and company, they headed to Vegas. I believe it was yesterday. If not, it was today. So apologies if I'm confusing something, whether it was yesterday or today. But they're in Vegas now getting ready for Boise State. I want to talk about Mike Leach. I don't know how many people have seen this Tavares Martin story. Very strange, very weird. And so we'll get to that. Also, Mike Leach, does he even want to be in Pullman anymore? Or is he somebody looking to maybe parlay this into a different gig? And then, of course, we've got our NFL True or False that we do every Tuesday at 1:30. Joe has cooked that one up, and so we will get to that. But we've got Justin Hopkins now on the line. Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com is his website, and he is on Twitter, at JHopkinsSD. What's up, Justin?
How is it going?
It's good, man. I'm just sitting here as a Beaver alum being completely biased in all things Oregon Duck related, obviously. But it's nice to have somebody on to talk some Oregon Ducks with me.
Yeah, I heard your counterpart's out of town, so, you know, he doesn't have anybody to defend the Ducks, and it's a little off balance this past week.
I guess that's how it ends up going whenever he's out of town, man. Hey, let's just start with this. We kind of got a feel from you last week on it. But Friday was the press conference. Mario Cristobal, just your overall, sum up your thoughts and feelings on now that they have their new head coach, Mario Cristobal.
You know, this is just, I wrote an article a couple weeks back. I think we talked about it last week too. But just, you know, the unfortunate timing of all of this, you know, for starters, Oregon getting the early bowl game, you know, that's really difficult. The first year of the early signing period, everybody's trying to figure out how to navigate that properly. You go to throw in the fact that Florida State finally opens its job for the first time in 40 years, and that's the dream job that Willie Taggart wanted. You know, unfortunately, Oregon got put so far behind the eight ball that, you know, there wasn't the big names to go after. And at the end of the day, I'm okay with that. I think, you know, Mario Cristobal did an excellent job of relaying to Rob Mullins that not only, A, did he want the job and he was fit for the job, but B, he didn't see Oregon as a stepping stone job to him. I think that's a big thing that Mullins was really looking at. You know, Mario Cristobal really sold the fact that he likes Eugene. He likes the University of Oregon. He wants to be here for the long haul. You know, I'd heard even leading up before that he'd signed the contract that, you know, he basically said, look, put whatever you want for a buyout in the contract, name whatever school, name the price. I don't really care. I want you to know I want to be at Oregon. And ultimately, I got to believe that was probably the big thing that, you know, carried the most weight with Rob Mullins. And add in the fact that he also coached under You know, Nick Saban in Alabama has won a lot of championships. You know, he's going to know what it takes to get Oregon to that level. So, you know, I think it was a good thing. I think it was the right hire. He'll be able to keep a majority of the staff in place if he wants, and I think he'll be able to keep a majority of the recruits in place, which is absolutely critical as well.
Yeah, you know, he announced at that press conference Arroyo was going to be his OC calling the plays, and then we saw a report that they extended him three-year contract. What do we know about Marcus Arroyo's offense? Help our listeners out there, because he didn't call the plays last year. It was Willie Taggart. What is going to be different? What should we expect differently in this offense next season?
You know, they're definitely not going to go and blow this thing up. You know, there's really no reason to. I mean, it was an efficient offense. You know, we'll see some different wrinkles and we'll see some different things. But, you know, I think what I really approve of is the fact, you know, Mario Cristobal is a pretty tough guy. And being at Alabama, he knows how to run the football. We saw that this year. He loves to play physical. He loves to dominate the line of scrimmage. And he loves to do those things. And he's not going to go away from that. But what Marcus Arroyo brings is he's a guy, you know, that's been at Oklahoma State and been under Tedford, and he knows how to throw the football. So what I think is you're going to see, you know, two guys with completely different backgrounds that will probably come and work together because, you know, those two guys are incredibly close. That's why Marcus Arroyo, you know, has basically already been told he's retained and getting a promotion and all these other things. You know, those guys are very close friends and they respect one another. So I like the fact that you're going to have somebody with really strong passing principles to come in and work with somebody that has just that absolute physical dominate the line of scrimmage, you know, run mentality with them. So, you know, the two will be finding that common ground and understanding, you know, when to mix things up and when to embrace those principles. But, you know, as far as quarterbacks go, I know, you know Justin Herbert and the other quarterbacks spoke very highly of Marcus Arroyo this year. You know, so that's very strong. Once again, they're not going to go and blow up. We'll see some different wrinkles, and we might even see a little bit of difference this week against Boise State. But I think the combination of the two together is a very nice blend.
Yeah. Justin Hopkins, scoopduck.com is his website. He's on Twitter at jhopkinssd. We're all kind of on Jim Leavitt watch. You know, Rob Mullins, there was a quote came out yesterday in an interview that they've offered him. They gave him what they think is a fair extension offer, and now they play the weight game like everybody else. What is the latest? What are the rumblings saying about Jim Leavitt and Eugene?
You know, it's he is probably, after the head coaching search, he's definitely been the most interesting aspect, you know, of all of this. Would he leave and go with Florida State, you know, with Willie Taggart to Florida State? Would he end up wanting to stay at Oregon? You know, could Oregon find somebody to replace him? And there's no question, you know, I know we've said it on the show all year long. You know, Jim Leavitt's been worth every penny all year long. He's transformed this defense, and, you know, he's being paid very handsomely, but he's earned it. And you could probably go find another guy, but at least here you know you've got a proven commodity. You've got somebody that can do this. And it's been really hard for Coach Leavitt because he really wanted that head coaching job. He felt like he was a candidate. He interviewed for it. You know, he really wanted to be the head coach of Oregon, the same as Mario Cristobal. You know, unfortunately, there's only one job to have there. You know, so I think at this point it's going to be, you know, can he kind of, you know, put that pride aside, you know, thinking, hey, that could have been my job. You know, be able to push that aside and go ahead and coach like he's been able to do this year. There's no question he's an excellent coach. There's no question he knows how to turn around a defense. You know, he's just going to need to look within himself to know, hey, I can – you know, fall in line under Coach Cristobal and know that he's the head guy and be able to respect him in that manner. I believe he can. He's a professional. He's going to get paid handsomely to do that. It's just a matter of him being able to do that. There's no question he'd like to be a head coach somewhere, but unfortunately, I just don't really see an opportunity out there right now, you know, for him that you know, screams, hey, this could be Jim Leavitt's job. So I think right now the next best thing for him is to remain at Oregon and continue to build upon what they did this year.
Let me ask you this question. By the way, are you good to stick around for another segment? I have a million questions, and we kind of went too late in the last segment. Would you be good to stick around?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I'm here.
Let me ask you this question before I put you on hold, and we get to some other things. Was Cristobal over Leavitt the right move for you?
You know, I believe it was. And, you know, one of the unfortunate factors for Jim Leavitt is that, you know, Father Time's not on his side. You know, I'm not 20 years old anymore. I understand that. You know, he's not 40 years old anymore. I'm sure he gets that. So there's no question he probably could have been the guy for the next 2, 3, 4 years, whatever length of time he wants to continue coaching. But I think Rob Mullins was really trying to avoid going through this again in a couple of years, and that might have been something that came up under Jim Leavitt. So I just think the balance of Cristobal, you could obviously see that the players rallied behind him. You saw that so far, really, the recruits have rallied behind him, because since he's been, you know, hired, there hasn't been a string of decommits. You know, there's been a few along the way, but not since Cristobal has been announced. You know, I think the passion's there. He wants to be at Oregon. He's going to bring that Alabama pedigree, you know, to Oregon and implement some of those things. I think it was the right hire. And from what I know of Coach Cristobal, he genuinely wants to be at Oregon and in Eugene. And I think that's something that the last couple coaches before Willie Taggart had, and is ultimately what made them successful.
All right. We have more things to touch on with you. The Ducks have the bowl game this week, and they had a big recruiting weekend this past week, and I want to get to all of that. Please stick around. We've got Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com, and we'll be back with more to talk with Hopkins about next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Spray on 1080, The Fan.
Welcome back in. We've got our Ducks Roundtable extended with our boy Justin Hopkins. ScoopDuck.com is his website. And you know, you follow him already on Twitter, but I'll shout it out anyway, at JHopkinsSD. He's agreed to stick around for another segment. We were talking about Jim Leavitt and Cristobal and the difference there. You know, we're going to wait for the Jim Leavitt, officially, the news to come through. But they had a big recruiting weekend. How did that turn out? What's the deets on that?
Yeah, it was a very good weekend, and you know, obviously didn't lead to any new commitments, but that's because everyone that did visit was already committed to Oregon. So, you know, the response has been really good, and you could see what Cristobal was doing. He was really laying that groundwork, you know, making sure those guys, you know, were strongly committed. Because they've got a pretty big group chat already going where they're, you know, several of the guys that are not committed and all the other commits, you know, really trying to rally around Coach Cristobal and stay strong, because, you know, ultimately it's hard enough to get these guys committed. It's really hard once you lose them to get them back. So, you know, I think it was the right move, you know, to get those guys in. Most of the young men that were going to enroll early, you know, were on campus. And so that was just a way to really kind of strengthen everything. You know, let them know everything was going to be fine. You know, you saw a quarterback, Tyler Shuck, who was on campus. He's kind of been the ringleader since committing. You know, that was a big step forward. Steve Stevens, the top-rated safety that's committed to Oregon, he's also planning to enroll early, had a great time. You know, so you go and get those top guys that the other guys are going to follow and listen to and really wrangle them in and get them behind you. You can see the outpouring on Twitter from the visits. And that really resonates with the other guys that aren't committed or maybe decommitted and are considering coming back. It was the right move. It didn't lead to any new guys, but still, you know, you laid the foundation for growing right now.
You know, Justin, I've seen some of the big names that they've had decommit from the program since Taggart decided to go to Tallahassee. And I know it's easy for people to go, here we go, the decommits, and they're piling in. But does it feel like that they're still in really good shape considering that Tyler Shuck is so committed and that he wants to get there as soon as he possibly can, a four-star quarterback?
Absolutely. You know, what really stood out to me is out of the decommitments that they had, you know, all but one were wide receivers. You know, so you had one cornerback, Isaiah Bolden out of Florida, who's already been welcomed by Willie Taggart, you know, since he's gotten to FSU. You know, so I think the writing on the wall is there. But, you know, the other guys, it was a little bit surprising that everybody was just a wide receiver. And, you know, that not that Willie Taggart had anything, you know, directly linked to that position. So, you know, most of those guys, Michael Ezeke, four-star receiver out of California, Trayshawn Harrison, you know, another four-star receiver out of Seattle, Braden Lindsey, you know, out of the Portland area at Tigard, another four-star wide receiver. All three of those guys could come back to Oregon fairly easily. You know, they did decommit, but said, hey, Oregon's going to stay up there. You know, I've talked to them since, and they seem really comfortable with what Coach Cristobal is doing. You know, so even out of the 5, 6 guys that decommitted from Oregon, there's a really good chance to get 3, 4, maybe even 5 of those guys back. And once again, continue to build forward with the new guys that you're also going to get. Because keep in mind, it's Coach Cristobal's program now, not Coach Taggart. So he may identify some other guys he likes and can now offer and can pursue. So there could be, you know, there will be a little bit of differences there as well.
Yeah, Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com, on Twitter at JHopkinsSD. Go visit his website. Talanoa Hufanga, the kid from Crescent Valley, he seems to be, along with Chase Cota, the two big names, at least for people in the Oregon, the state of Oregon, about where they're going to end up playing football. What does hiring Cristobal, what does that do for the chances of talents like that?
Well, you know, we'll lead off with Chase Cota because actually he's committing tomorrow. He's decided to go ahead and announce his commitment tomorrow. And it certainly seems like Chip Kelly's really come in and made a strong impression there. You know, the whole time it really seemed like Chase Cota really wanted to go down and play in Los Angeles, whether it be USC or UCLA. It just seemed like that was the atmosphere he kind of wanted to be around and maybe, you know, not playing his dad's shadow. So he was giving Oregon a pretty serious look. And once Jim Mora was fired from UCLA, it seemed like that might have opened the window for Oregon. But then Oregon obviously went through its own coaching changes of its own. And then Chip Kelly ended up at UCLA, almost kind of a perfect storm for him. So he does commit at 3 p.m. Pacific tomorrow at South Medford High School. I believe UCLA will probably be the choice there. As for Talanoa Hufanga, you know, there's been a shift there. Oregon has been incredibly great shape with him for quite a while. And, you know, with this uncertainty, that's really opened a window. And USC and actually UCLA have made really strong impressions on him, you know, over the last week or two. And so there's actually been a pretty significant shift there with Talanoa Hufanga. You know, I've been pretty confident that he would sign with Oregon. I'm no longer that confident. I think USC is probably back to being the team to beat again. But the key with him is he will commit in late December, but he will not be signing or enrolling early. So that means in the month of January, I fully expect Oregon to continue to put the full court press down on him, you know, and try and get him back. They may not be successful, but they're going to continue to try.
I like it. I like the patience of a kid waiting for that. And then you also kind of flip it and you go, the kid really likes the attention and he likes to be wooed a little bit. And you can't blame him. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity for him. Well, we're talking to Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com. All right, their bowl game. It was creeping up, and then it's Saturday now, 12:30 against Boise State. They're in Vegas already. What do we think of this matchup? A lot of people really liking the Ducks' chances against Boise State.
You know, this in my opinion, and I've written this on Scoop Doug, I think this is a trap game for Oregon, and not necessarily a trap game, you know, by any sense of the true meaning. But what I do mean is that you go and play against a team, Boise State, you're supposed to beat them. Okay, so, you know, really, Cristobal will probably get a little bit of credit, but probably not the full credit he deserves, because this is a really good team that can beat you. So by the trap game element, I mean this is a team that can beat you. You know, they are good enough. They're very disciplined. They're very well coached. This is a really tough first game for Mario Cristobal. And what makes it so important and really emphasizes it is not because it's the Las Vegas Bowl or anything to do with that, but Mario Cristobal has basically got one audition for the next 10 months for everyone to weigh him on. You know, there will be no other football for everybody to go and critique him on. He's got this one game. So, you know, if he goes out and performs well, that's going to be great. It will smooth over the fan base until September rolls around and kind of keep everything going the right way. If it's shaky or worse yet, if the Ducks lose, then there's going to be questions about if Cristobal was the right guy, and every other team will use that ammunition against him in recruiting the whole way. It's just a very dangerous setup for Coach Cristobal. You know, that said, Oregon should be able to beat them with the way they've played the last 2 weeks. You know, heaven forbid anything happened to Justin Herbert. If he stays upright for the whole game, Oregon should probably go out there and win this game, but by no means is this a walkthrough. Boise State's talented. And it's just very, very important for Mario Cristobal and his future at Oregon.
You know, I think it's easy, Justin, in the moment now, you say, well, it's the one game, right? It's a one game sample size. You don't judge anybody off of a one game sample size. But if you live in a hypothetical world, let's say they go out there, they look flat, and Boise State beats them. What is Justin Hopkins thinking at the end of a game like that?
It's just, you know, you're going to have to really break it down, and you're going to have to think, okay, you know, was there some coaching issues? Was there a lot of, you know, discipline errors? Were there too many men on the field, or were they not using the clock the right way? Or, you know, the play calls weren't right. You know, those things is kind of what you'll have to look at. If they go out there and Boise State plays a perfect game and Oregon just doesn't really execute, you know, you just kind of have to weigh what really happened in the game. it's an unfortunate situation for Coach Cristobal. Like I said, he's got 10 months basically after this game that this will hang over his head, you know, has either being the right hire or not being the right hire. You know, for me, you know, I definitely want to take a step back. There's just, it's really tough. I mean, all the things that have gone on in that locker room for the last 2 weeks, all the uncertainty, all the, you know, just he really hasn't had enough time to get this team ready, even though he's been with them. Hopefully the week down in Vegas will maybe get them away from the distraction a little bit and really just kind of get them back to football and focused. I don't think effort, you know, those types of things, passion for playing for Cristobal will be a problem. I think he'll get those guys fired up. It will just be a matter of, okay, you know, can he manage a game? Can he manage the timeouts? Can he manage the clock? You know, all those little things that come with a very seasoned veteran, you know, a guy like Chip Kelly and Nick Saban and all those little things that come naturally, you know, now we'll really be looking at Mario Cristobal as a newer head coach, wondering if he'll have that down from the get-go.
Okay, let me get you out of here on a two-parter then. And it's they're both questions are involving Jim Leavitt. One, which one do you think hurt him the most, getting passed over by a guy on staff in Cristobal or Willie Taggart kind of just leaving with so much uncertainty going on surrounding that story? And then the second part would be, if you're placing a bet, you got $1,000 right now, staying or going, where are you placing the money for Jim Leavitt? Because I believe by the next time we talk, we'll probably know where he's going. We're going to be.
Yeah, you know, I think the hardest part for Jim Leavitt in all of this is being passed over for a guy that was basically your equal. You know, at the end of the day, they were equals. Obviously, they had different job titles, but they, you know, Willie Taggart was a head coach. Everybody was under him. You know, now basically you went and interviewed against a guy that was your equal. And you know, in this case, he beat you out. You know, fairly, unfairly, however you want to look at it, you know, Mario Cristobal got the job. So now it's up to Jim Leavitt to, you know, to swallow that and swallow that pride and say, hey, look, I either want to be a part of this and keep coaching these guys that I've built a relationship with, or I want to go pursue something else. And at this particular moment in time, I don't believe he'll end up at Florida State, regardless of what he does at Oregon. I don't believe he'll end up at Florida State, you know, in large part due to, you know, maybe what Willie Taggart did and the feelings there. Secondly, if I'm betting money, I'm betting he stays. I think this week of just getting back to coaching and being around the you know, the kids that are at that program and the kids you've coached all year long and knowing that he really likes the city of Eugene, I think that will be enough to, you know, convince him to stay. You know, if Mario Cristobal goes out there and handles things and shows that he's got that moxie, that leadership that you're looking for, you know, I think Jim can actually kind of say, hey, look, I can coach under this guy. You know, maybe I was wrong. I think he can lead this team. And secondly, I really don't want to leave this group of great young men that I've grown close to and coached this year. I want to see this thing out. And the big thing is, Willie Taggart's gone, but I still think this is a championship-quality team if they get a good enough recruiting class in the next 2 years. There's a lot of great pieces here at Oregon, which is probably why everybody wanted this job so badly.
There you go. Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com. Really good stuff. He's on Twitter at JHopkinsSD. Give the man a follow if you're not already, and watch the Twitter feed as recruiting and coaching decisions are all looming for the Oregon Duck program. Always good to catch up with you, my man. Enjoy the bowl game, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, brother.
There we go. Good stuff from Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com. So he's betting that Leavitt stays, ultimately reconnects with the kids, does the bowl game, and just feels that he would rather stay in Eugene rather than go to Tallahassee. All right, good stuff from him. Let's transition to the NFL. It's time for the NFL True or False. Green Bay, Kansas City, New England, Jacksonville. We'll make stops. All those cities. Next, True or False. First, Joe with a sports update.
I went down to St. James Infirmary, and I found my baby, that girl.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
So welcome back in, 1:35 on The Fan. Hope you're enjoying your Tuesday afternoon. Talk about Mike Leach and the weird things going on in Pullman for crunch time. But it is time, Joe, for NFL True or False.
Indeed. Indeed it is. Just me and you today, obviously. So we start where we were just last night in Miami. The Patriots, they fell to the Dolphins, and they fell to a record of 10-3. They are now just a game above the 9-4 Jaguars. Patriots, if they lose to the Steelers this next week, they can finish no better than 12-4. And if the Jaguars win out, they will also be 12-4 and would win the tiebreaker based on a better conference record.
The Jags win the tiebreaker?
So, true or false, the Steelers and Jaguars will have a first-round bye in the playoffs.
God, man, after last night, I think it's easy to sit here and envision Pittsburgh getting a win. New England just did not look good. I know they didn't have Gronkowski, and they've also signed Kenny Britt off waivers.
Yes. I mean, great time to have a letdown game, though.
Yeah, they kind of own Pittsburgh traditionally.
Yeah.
This is so weird. The Jacksonville thing is a weird thing, and I know they're a good team, but they're the Jags.
Right.
I'm so conditioned to them being like the other Browns in the AFC. I'm going to go false. I think Pittsburgh loses to New England. And I think it's going to be Pittsburgh, New England with the byes.
Yeah, I'm going to go false as well. That's just one of those things where I'll believe it when I see it. You know, you can make all the arguments because the Jags defense, that it is just nasty defense over there in Jacksonville.
And they got a hell of a run game, too, with Fournette and Blake Bortles, man. He looked like Alex Smith 2.0 against the Seahawks.
Pretty damn favorable end of the schedule for the Jags. Texans, 49ers, Titans.
Ooh, don't overlook the Niners with Jimmy G, baby.
Yeah, hey, that's very true. Yeah, I will go false. I'll believe it when I see it. Patriots and Steelers will get the 1-2 seeds.
Okay.
On to the next one. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reporting today. It's difficult to predict if Aaron Rodgers will play week 15 against the Panthers, the Packers, just a game back from the Falcons and Seahawks for the final wild card spot. Only 3 games left in the season, so true or false, Aaron Rodgers will make his return this weekend against the Panthers.
So the thing that sucks about this is I feel like we're going to get this news in 20 minutes. So if I say false, they're going to announce that he starts. We're just waiting on the official word. I think Green Bay just has to weigh the options here. Is he really healthy enough to say it's worth a risk of having a playoff run? Or, yeah, we're good. We're not good enough to do this or that. I think because of the NFC playoff picture, they could make a run. And I will say, true, he suits up against Carolina. I think we see him this weekend. I think he really wants to play.
And I think he does, too. That's why I'm going true. Just as far as the standings go, I mean, the Packers, they kind of have to win this game if they want to stay alive.
Oh, no, this is it. You're not getting in with 7 losses. This is their season.
Yeah, I mean, so if you believe that this team can win the Super Bowl, if you believe this team is good enough with Aaron Rodgers to make it all the way, then you have to play him this week because you're in a big hole if you lose and then Falcons win or Seahawks win. So this is true. Aaron Rodgers will play and make his return this weekend. On to the next one. Browns with the most Browns loss of the season, and maybe of the whole Browns franchise history, honestly, against the Packers on Sunday,
God,
actually.
That was a Brownsy loss, wasn't it?
Holy God, that Deshaun Kaiser, that was one of the worst plays by a quarterback in the NFL.
Can you be honest on this real quick? At what point do you stop being a fan? I know loyalty is important to a lot of people, and this is almost blasphemy from a sports fandom.
Right.
When do you abandon it for a franchise like this?
Man, that's tough. That's a tough situation to be in because I've never rooted for a team that was 1-29 in their last, like, 2 seasons. Like, that's give them all the credit in the world. That's a very...
I don't know how they do it.
Seriously.
The Blazers drive me crazy enough. Could you imagine, like, a worse version of the Blazers?
Seriously. The mental makeup of a Browns fan, it's insane.
Like, you went the way of trusting the process, and then you missed all of these, what looks like all pro quarterbacks. God.
All right. So, yeah, Deshaun Kaiser with that just immaculate play in overtime there. Just amazing. 3 games left for the Browns. Ravens, at Bears, and at Steelers. So true or false, Browns will finish 0-16.
This is true. The Steelers will have to win out because they're in fear of not getting that bye and also still thinking maybe New England slips up again and they can get home field back, although it seems pretty difficult. And then Baltimore has to keep winning. They will. And you know what? The Bears, they had a hell of a performance against Cincinnati. They went in there and stomped the Bengals 33-7.
That they did.
I think they're better than the Browns, so I will say that this is true. They are going to go over and become the second team in NFL history along with the, what was that? Was that 2007?
Yeah, no, we all know it was Lions. Lions, yeah, as far as the year goes. I'm going to say false. And this is why. So, Ravens, they're playing for a playoff spot, so they'll take care of them.
Is that at Baltimore?
No, it's in Cleveland. At Chicago for the Bears, that'll be a loss because that is just a better Bears team.
Here we go. Hot take, Joe. Tell me how they beat the Steelers.
The Steelers' playoff position will be locked in at that point. Ooh. They rest players. The Browns with either Kevin Hogan or Cody Kessler, whoever it is their quarterback, they sneak in.
It'll and be
they
Kaiser. Get that, Kaiser's going to play.
That last win of the season, or last game of the season, they get the win and sneak in there with a 1-15 record.
Okay, we may know where everybody would lean here. 0-15 going into that game. Who is Pittsburgh's backup quarterback? His name is
Landry Jones.
Landry Jones is the quarterback because they have it locked, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Are we rooting or rooting against for Cleveland?
Man.
I want to see Ofer.
At that point, I think everybody does. But
wholeheartedly rooting against him. I'm sorry, Brown fan out there.
Okay. In our last one. We got Chargers at Chiefs this weekend. Chiefs, they were able to get back on track against the Raiders. Chargers, they've won 4 games in a row now after beating the Redskins and 7 of their last 9. Chargers looking like the better team right now. Kind of a two-parter. So true or false, Chargers, they're going to beat the Chiefs in Kansas City and win out the rest of the season. Jets, Raiders to finish it.
This NFL weekend is amazing, by the way, of the games.
Yes.
The Thursday game, and then Washington has a really crappy game.
Redskins, Cardinals.
Terrible.
Blech.
Those are the two worst games. There's a lot of other really good ones. I would have said 2 weeks ago, I think the Chargers are going to win this.
McCown just broke his hand. He's out. I mean, that might be a win against the Jets the next week.
But Kansas City, man, they put up points against the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of got back to being the Chiefs.
Indeed.
Can you trust it? It's in Kansas City. It's going to be cold. Screw it. I'll ride the Charger train here. I'll bolt up a little bit. I think it's a tough matchup for them, but I think ultimately with the pass rush and what they have going on with Keenan Allen, who just cannot be stopped, Melvin Gordon, I think LA goes in there and they get the dub.
Much like Bitcoin, I'm going to buy me some Chargers.
You're buying the Chargers? You're bolting up?
I'm buying some Chargers before that stock skyrockets. They're going to get the win, Kansas City. Beat Jets, beat Raiders. And this is not your typical Chargers team.
Kansas City didn't beat the Jets.
No, I'm saying next week.
Chargers
are going to take care of the Jets.
Gotcha.
And then take care of the Raiders, finish the season.
Yeah, the Raiders are terrible.
7 straight wins for the Chargers to end the year.
God. And if they would have not screwed up just 2 of those games.
And then they'll host a home playoff game in a soccer stadium.
How crazy is that to think they could run the table here? What would that put their record at? It would put it at
10-6.
10-6, and at least 2 of those 4 losses were games they shouldn't have probably lost.
Very Charger-esque.
Golly.
That's why I'm buying into them. I'm like, hey, they've turned a corner here.
They look good.
Bolt up.
They do look good. All right, good NFL, true or false, Joe. Really good stuff. Hey, Mike Leach, does he want to stay in Pullman? Is this a power play for more money? Or do you think the Pirate wants out to a different program? Talk about that next in Crunch Time on 1080 The Fan.
The pressure's on.
You ask what's the difference in the past, and this is just executing at crunch time.
Who's feeling the heat?
When you win, it's the greatest feeling in the world, and when you lose, it's the lowest feeling in the world.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 per month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership?
Crunch time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. Why go anywhere else? Locations in Southwest Washington and the Portland metropolitan area. Crunch.com for more information. It's crunch time in Pullman. We've got bowl season upon us. The Cougars have a pretty good bowl matchup against Michigan State. But there's an interesting development going on in Pullman right now. So if you haven't heard, Tavares Martin Jr. is the team's leading receiver. He had a really good year this year. He was dismissed from the program over the weekend. And people were wondering if it was a violation of team rules yet again. Martin had had a run-in before, late for a meeting. People kind of just filled in the blank there. Well, Martin turned to Twitter and said had nothing to do with being late for any meeting. He expressed his desire to transfer from the program, and instead of granting it or blocking it or what have you, they straight just dismissed him. They didn't even want to have the conversation with him. Said, get out of here. Just get out of here. So that's what Martin is saying. Nobody has denied that. And then their other receiver, Isaiah Johnson Mack, their starting outside receivers, he has expressed his desire to transfer. Now, this can usually be equated to a couple things. Kids want to go back home, or they want to play for a program for one more year, or whatever the scenario. This isn't uncommon by any means, or talents coming up through recruiting, or there's a freshman and they know PT is going to go down. But you add that with the weird Mike Leach stuff. Mike Leach, what does he want to do long term? Now, you've heard rumblings with the Oregon, right? The Oregon connection, maybe when he wanted to leave and go to Eugene and coach at Oregon. And then we also know that he was probably going to be the head coach of Tennessee. It sounds like John Curry hired him without informing the boosters and other people at the university, hopped on a plane, went and met him, was going to give him the job. And then he gets back to Knoxville. Everybody goes, dude, what's going on? He says, I got a coach. They said, you didn't run that by us. And boom, he's axed. Mike Leach to Tennessee doesn't happen. But it sounds like the Pirate was going to Knoxville. And you just kind of, I think you wonder as a Cougar fan, and you even wonder from a Pac-12 standpoint, because having Mike Leach in this conference makes the conference better. It just does. You want a guy like that representing the conference. You want an interesting personality, I think, from somebody like my standpoint. And even as a fan, his teams are fun to watch. He's an entertaining, different individual. And you just wonder, what is the play here? They don't have an acting AD. They got an interim, but, you know, there's not the guy yet. He's been leading this program to 9 wins for a couple of seasons now. Is this a money play? Or was the sign of Tennessee and the rumblings of Oregon kind of his way of signaling without wanting to that he's looking to leave Pullman? Now, he's going to have a new quarterback in Tyler Helinski. Luke Falk's last game is going to be the bowl game. So maybe he wanted to leave when Falk left. Or maybe, again, this is just a way for him to make more money. But if Washington State, here's the unfortunate part for Washington State. Because they're not sitting there in near downtown Seattle or in Los Angeles like some of these other programs. They can't, like their rival over there, they're not sitting in the same position. But if he is looking to make more, I would say the leverage is absolutely more on his side than it is the university. Because look what you have. You have a perennial contender in the North that is playing their rival game for contention or a spot in the Pac-12 championship to represent their side of the conference. Washington State has reached that level. If we went into the time machine and we went back to year 3 with Paul Wolf, in the midst of just the crap that was happening, and I told Cougar fan, hey, you're going to fire Paul Wolf, you're going to get Bill Moose, he's going to then hire Mike Leach, and then he's eventually going to get you to a position of competing to win Pac-12 championships and win 9 games. In that moment, you're probably slapping me and asking me what drug I'm on because of how bad it was. And now you see where they're at and where the program has turned into. Granted, they lost Joe Salovea, but they still have a hell of a defensive coordinator in Alex Grinch, a young up-and-coming assistant in college football. You're just hoping, I think, if you're a Cougar fan right now, you're hoping that this is just a power play for money. And unfortunately, he has the leverage. If you don't pay him, you kind of already know that he's looking. Tennessee is an interesting job, one that clearly piqued his interest and had him to the point of wanting to leave. And you just hope there's not another job out there. Like Texas Tech with Kingsbury, I don't think he's going back to Texas Tech. He hates those people. He wants the money back from those individuals. You know, it may take a certain job to open up, but you're just hoping this is more a power play than it is a reality that he eventually leaves Pullman. Or maybe you've already subscribed to that fact that Mike Leach was never going to be, and you don't see this in college football anyway, Mike Leach was never going to be that long-term 15-year guy to university. And that's okay with you as long as he develops some assistant that's willing to take it over or maybe leaves it in a position where they can surprise the world again and go get another name and say, look, you're a really good football guy. You can win here. Mike Leach proved that. It's a very interesting time in Pullman with Washington State. And I can't wait for the bowl game. I think the matchup's really good. Michigan State and Washington State. I mean, you have a battle of two different styles. Is it going to be Michigan State's defense slowing it up and kind of ugling the game up? Or is it going to be Washington State coming out on top and slinging it around and finding ways to score points? I can't wait for that matchup. But we'll see. We'll see what Mike Leach ultimately decides that what he wants to do. You know, somebody saying, I'm a Washington State alum. I know Tennessee is a better job than Washington State, but why would you try to join Tennessee now when it is a firestorm? To me, that screams more he's upset in Pullman and wants out of Wazoo. It's not as simple as him trying to take the next best job. Somebody else says, if he were to leave, they would have to hire Grinch, wouldn't you think? I would think, yeah, but maybe they want to keep the offensive thing going. Yeah, Grinch seems like a pretty good choice to me. You're at Washington State. I think whoever you bring in next is going to be a gamble, and there's a chance it goes down from where you're at. But, you know, maybe it's not that simple. Maybe they feel like they need an offensive-minded guy. So we'll see. Washington State should be a shining example of how you build a small program. OSU should be feverishly taking notes. 100%. 100% agree. Now, Bill Moose wanted to get back into it, and they got him. I thought that was a brilliant move. And then just go back to the Leach hire. I mean, that shocked the world. They got Mike Leach. He went down to Key West, shirtless Mike Leach out there in the rain. I'll come back. Got him to come to Pullman. The Pirates got it going, man. I would be sad. I'd be sad to leave him, leave Washington State and leave this conference. I like Mike Leach. I think he's good for this conference. Somebody else says Leach is using the Cougs as a stepping stone, and it's one of those unusual situations where it benefits both parties. Huh. It's an interesting thought. Or maybe, yeah, this Coug fan says Bo Baldwin. Maybe you keep Grinch. Maybe he leaves with Mike Leach. Or maybe you convince Grinch to stay and team up with a guy like Bo Baldwin. However, I would find it hard that Grinch would be A-OK being passed over by another assistant, even if though he's an offensive-minded guy you've been bringing in and Grinch is a defensive-minded coach. But we'll see. We'll see what the bowl game brings, and then we'll see where the story is in about a month. Hey, a lot to get to in the final hour. Something to think about for you involved in an office pool. Yes, people involved in office pools. I want you to think about something. One college football coach is not particularly a big fan of Jimbo Fisher's. We'll tell you who and what they said. The snow is costing one player big money. Really good news for sports fans in general, and I'm going to bring that to you. And an all-time favorite retiring. All of that is coming, but we're going to start our third hour with one football player speaking his mind very passionately. That's next. Dirt and Sprague Hour 3 is next on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.